Goose and Catherine. Catherine Gaum and Goose Tomlesnovich. Both wanted to ask about money, and that's actually something that is an awesome topic, because it is part of our life. There may be people that are self-sustaining and live on farms and communes. If they are, they're probably not listening to this, because I don't know how you function in an internet world while being self-sustaining. So it's part of our world. It's a part of our culture. And so there's a few things that my mind went through to come to peace in some ways about money. A big one was, well, let me take you back a few years. So after I was doing my first website and then a few more websites, and then I at one point was running a webcam community called CitizenX, and I also moved into a webcam house. We were trying to make money. We weren't making any money. But I was basically living for low rent in exchange for sharing my entire life online, including showers, and my sex life was all, you know, broadcast live on the net. The 99% of that broadcast was boring. So you had to be, it's almost like being an archaeologist, like digging. Shower scene! Actually, it's very little like an archaeologist. But I imagine both would have patience involved. Don't listen to me. Okay, so I was living in a webcam house, and CitizenX eventually, the investors didn't want to give any more money. It ran out of money. We're trying to keep it going. And eventually, it had to close. And as I look back on that chapter, I was so anti-money. I so had these such negative feelings about the evils of commerce, that it just was this corrupting power, and it was just, I just had so much negative feelings about money. And also, I don't think I felt like I deserved to be paid for things that I enjoyed. You know, money is this bad thing that you get when you do things you don't want to do. And so here I was trying to do something good that I loved, and a huge part of my brain just, I don't think even had a space for how could you ask for money for that. So I did ask, but no, you know, got very little, because I wasn't in alignment. My vibration did not match an abundant vibration. And so eventually I went to go work for a company at that point I'm like, I'm moving out of a webcam house. I'm cleaning up my act. No more of this, you know, sexuality stuff. I'm going on the straight and narrow. And then the only job I could get was with a porn company. And so I said, universe, I'm not sure, is this a test, or are you telling me which I should, okay. Now, it was a marketing position, but it was a great experience. And I went, the guy that I worked for was younger than me, genius, and, you know, wealthy, and he had this perspective on capitalism that changed my life. And it's something that I talk about here all the time, the idea about voting with your dollar. And he said that, you know, the capitalism, is a beautiful system. It is a way that we can communicate with this massive economy and tell it what we want more of. There is no, you know, lords of economics that say, all right, we need another Walmart here. Oh, we need more Britney Spears knockoffs. Yes, we will make those. The system just goes, oh, wow, this thing is being lucrative and making a lot of money. People, competitors go, oh, let's make more of those. Or the people doing it go, let's open another one. Or people say, let's copy that. And so if nobody is buying, spending a little extra for, you know, free-range chicken, then a farmer goes, this is stupid. I'm not going to spend extra to do that. But if people will spend extra, the farmer goes, sweet, I'm dedicating more of my farm for free range, or whatever that is. And so it is this beautiful system of communication. So that's a two-part thing. The first part is voting with your dollar, and then also starting to believe that I deserve resources for what I bring to the world. And part of that process for me was paying for those things. So if I think, oh yeah, I want to make money as a public speaker, but I don't go and pay for public speakers, I don't, you know, and I'm not supporting anyone who's doing that, then there's a vibrational disconnect. You know, if I'm, you know, downloading all my music and not paying for it, and wondering why I can't seem to get a break and no one is buying my album, it's like, well, that's just, you define the world around you. So those two things. And so I started to get into a state of thinking about my money, not as this evil thing that I'm a slave to, but as a communication tool. If I am spending money on something that I don't want, I need to really think about why I'm doing that. Even something like, okay, electrical bill. Duh, I love electricity. My rent, duh, I love where I live. Now, you can say, it sucks that just to be alive in America, you have to spend money to just live here. I can't, you know, that sucks. And it might, but that's a separate conversation. The reality is, as you are spending this money, think good thoughts about it. Think of it as a gift, Think of it as a vote and saying, I like this. Let's keep this going. As you're buying food, you know, if you are buying processed stuff, you're saying, hey, universe, we want more processed food, more Jack in a Box, as you shovel it down here. But if you're paying a little bit extra for a brand that takes a few extra steps to, you know, free trade or whatever that is. Actually, this morning I bought coffee and I bought two bags. One was a cheap one because I just needed backup coffee. Another one I'm like, okay, I'll spend $3 extra for the free trade, even though I'm not even sure what that means. But I know it's good. And I know that, you know, it's a vote with my dollar. I'm telling someone, you made extra effort. It cost you more to do this. And I vote for that. The truth is, even our politics are all voting with our dollars too. But even as in your own relationship with money, thinking about it as that way. And if you don't think people would vote for your dollar with their dollar for what you do, that's something that needs to be reevaluated as well. I guess the third part, which is one that I never had a huge problem with, because I had pretty good training with budgeting, and I actually thanked my parents for this recently, that I've never gotten deeply into debt. And when I was a kid, I remember, you know, being at Toys R Us and saying, like, so wanting the Death Star playset, which was like, I think it was like $50, which when I was a kid in the early 20s was like $1 million. Okay, I don't know exactly. It was a lot, though. It was like a huge amount of money. But a huge amount of money to a kid. I knew my parents could afford it. You know, my dad was a lawyer. And so, and he was so adamant about, if this is something you want, well then, save up your allowance. And they were so strict on that, which anchored this thought, this realization that you have to choose, you know. You can't just say yes to everything. Something has to give, you know, you have to work within budgets. And the truth is, maybe that's not good advice. Maybe you should think so deeply into abundance mentality that you think, oh yeah, I'm going to spend with the belief that the universe will fit that need. And if that works for you, that's awesome. I recognize that I'm not, I don't live in a mansion, but all my needs are met. And I've been in that place for 10 years, I guess. Where I don't live flamboyantly, I don't take huge trips, I don't, you know, but I do take care of what I need. I don't worry about money. But I spend as much as I can in places that I feel good about, and then have faith and trust that things will show up. And that has been, my experience has been that one way or another, my needs get met. The other, I guess the final part of this whole equation for me in my relationship to money is letting go of the fear of what would happen if I ran out of money. And maybe letting go is the wrong word, because I still slip into that place. And it's funny, they've done these kind of surveys and stuff, and the number of people who are afraid of being a homeless person is like, you know, 80%. No matter how much money people have, people are always afraid that they're going to be, you know, you're going to lose it all and be homeless. And that is a terrifying thought if you attach a story to that. The truth is that millions and millions of people all around the world live at a level of poverty way below the homeless level in this country. And that would be if everything went wrong and no one was willing to help you. And so as I think about it, what would happen if I was living underneath a bridge? Truthfully, what would happen? I mean, when I'm honest with myself, the only thing that I'm really afraid of is violence against me when I'm living in a like a street community that doesn't have the protection of the police, because that is a real risk. But I think that the real risk in that is when you're a not a stable person and tend to get drunk and but that's a real risk. Other than that, being poor is not the worst thing that can happen to you. So just letting go of that fear takes away that attraction, that, you know, that mentality of like, you never want to be, you know, running away from something. You always want to be running towards something. And believing that your needs will be met, not having the fear that pulls you into that direction, trusting that the universe will take care of you, knowing that as you spend money, it's not leaving you, it's voting, it's empowering you. And also knowing that the more tightly you hold on to what you have, the less able you are to receive. If you are grabbing hold of the dollar bills you have, as money opportunities come to you, you have no way to get them. My friend Dimitri is one of the most generous people I know, and he's taught me a lot about just like, you know, you almost have to go talk to the waitress before the meal's done and give him a credit card if you want to pay for a meal when he's around, because he just always wants, if he has resources, he just wants to share, he just wants to take care of things, he wants to be generous. And I told him, you know, how inspiring it was. And he actually noticed, you know, like, he goes, it's been interesting to watch me get more generous and less concerned about money as I've spent time with him. And he said, well, and he's this person who spends like crazy for other people and does receive nice resources in his life. Is he a rich man? Absolutely not, because this is how he lives. He just doesn't hold on to anything. And to him, he goes, well, that's why we're here, right? You get resources to use resources. And if I get to a point where I no longer have resources coming in, that's how I'll know that it's time to stop sharing so much, because I simply won't have it to share. I'm like, whew. You know, I'm much more of a, you know, keep some safety money in the bank account, you know, keep adding to that, and hopefully we can all find our place where we feel at peace in that relationship. So hopefully that was somewhat helpful. I feel like I'm on that path currently. You know, I'm now not, I have no income right now. As Any Beat shut down and as I'm exploring some other options, because of my, you know, hoarding stuff that still is a part of me, I do have some money in the bank and I'm okay for a certain period of time. But that feeling, that fear stuff does, as I spend money and none is coming in, I go, I hear my dad's voice, I hear cultural stuff, and I have to go, what have I learned over the last 10 years? And I keep having these profound lessons along the way too. Like a few years ago when the Hugmobile broke down and it was gonna be, you know, $5,000 to fix it, I asked for help. And within the week, we had enough money to fix the Hugmobile. And so it's like, okay, I'm not gonna, you know, that's not a business plan of like, yay, people will just PayPal me money if I need it. Or maybe it is. But the point was that like, look, here are these, I'm not a solo or at least if I act in a way that is a, you know, has that relationship with money, that spends when I can, that isn't attached, doesn't have fear, then the things work out. Even if it means not having the lifestyle that I think I need or that I know I want. I'm kind of belaboring this, but there's another big part of this that I realize. And that is letting go of what you think happiness looks like. Because if you think happiness is a certain level of affluence, you won't recognize the happiness and the joy in whatever you have now. The fastest way to get rich is to appreciate what you have. And the curse of poverty is to wish you have more. Maybe not wish, but feel like you don't have enough. So that the amount in our bank account, the stuff that we have, that is all relative. What matters is, do I feel abundant? Do I feel blessed? Have I recalibrated my baseline so that I can go, wow, I have my own computer. I have fresh vegetables in my fridge. I have hot water that comes out of my bathroom. I mean, that is, go back a few hundred years and you are royalty. So when you let your picture of what happiness looks like, what your picture of what comfort slip up to a certain point, there's this huge window of awesomeness that you just can't see. So that's my dump, my money thoughts dump. And if you, as you're listening to this, go, you know what? Man, this guy, these thoughts, these words, I want to vote for this. PayPal@stin.net is a way that you could send me a token saying, yeah, I want more of this in the world.